The Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Well, it's no secret today, Americans are living longer. The life expectancy has gone up 10, 12, 15 years. And with medical advances, they're saying that that can even exceed where we are today, thanks to medical research and new medical technologies. Joining me on the program is Dr. Peter Hansen. He's chief of orthopedic surgery, and he also is the medical director of orthopedic surgery at Grossmont Hospital. And doctor, our topic today is stem cells. And maybe you can give us just a little brief background in terms of stem cell therapy, what it is, what does it involve, and when is it used?
Yeah, great questions, Jim. I appreciate the opportunity. This is a field which is in its very early beginnings from a clinical standpoint. I tell people we're just kind of at the tip of the iceberg and we'll probably be laughing at ourselves in a few years. And as one of my non-medical people said, we'll be in a few years looking back at the leeches and saying, you know, hey, what a stupid idea, but it was a good idea at the time. But we've advanced since then, and the knowledge is just going at a breakneck speed to where it's really hard to keep up with any of this stuff. But when it comes to stem cells, it's kind of the holy grail of medicine right now. And the question isn't whether they work and whether they're going to work. It's how to get them to work and do what we want them to do, which is to provide health and prevent some of the things that I do for a living. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I specialize in joint replacements. So my special interest in this is trying to preserve native joints and keep them out of my operating room. And that's what we're trying to do.
So when you think of stem cell research, how does this work? Is this basically taking our own body's stem cells and using them to regenerate tissue?
Yeah, that's a really cool thing with what we're doing. We're surgeons, and we're used to doing big surgery. This is a really small operation that we do, and we're kind of natural believers in using our own tissue to regenerate tissue. And we've been doing that for years with bone grafting and fractures and things like that. But what this has done is given us an opportunity to do a really minor procedure, which is aspiration of fat, otherwise known as liposuction, and taking that fat and breaking it down into its cellular components, many of which are stem cells, what we call mesenchymal stem cells, which means that they can turn into many different types of tissue. They can turn into blood vessels, they can turn into cartilage, they can turn into bone, and they just have to be stimulated to do so. So one of the big questions is how do we stimulate it to do that? But in today's environment, it's illegal to try to stimulate the cells or to grow the cells clinically. That's all controlled through the FDA. But what we're allowed to do is take a person's own tissue as surgeons and put it back into them. So we're taking the cellular aspects of that liposuction and then breaking it down into the cells and then giving those cells back into the joints. And that way it puts those stem cells where they need to work.
Now, doctor, do we have stem cells located all over our body, or is it in a particular area of the body or tissue of the body? I mean, where do you find them?
Well, the two main sources of stem cells from a clinical standpoint are the fat and the bone marrow. There are other ways of obtaining stem cells through bone marrow, and we're kind of bone marrow surgeons. We've been doing this for a couple decades, many decades actually, taking bone marrow and putting it into people to try to get them to heal, especially fractures. But bone marrow to us is kind of a tough way to go. You're sticking needles into people's pelvis bone or their tibia and pulling that bone marrow aspirate out of there and then spinning it down and trying to concentrate the cells. And what they found is that the number of mesenchymal stem cells in that aspirate is significantly less than you get just from taking fat. And fat's probably the number one biologic material on the face of the earth, at least in the United States. And so there's plenty of it to go around. And it's been extremely easy to do in the patient. You just do it under local anesthesia. We have a plastic surgeon that comes in, pulls off about 50 cc's of fat. And from that, we can get enough stem cells to treat the patient's arthritic conditions.
You know, there are a number of issues regarding stem cells. So where are you using them? Are you using them, for example, like in cardiac muscles, for blood cells, for neural cells? Where are you finding the widest swath of application today, given current technology?
With the current technology we have, probably the number one area of treatment, just from numbers, is arthritis. It's actually staggering the number of patients that have clinically significant arthritis in the United States now, because our age has gone up so drastically. As far as, you know, like you said in your introduction, it's not unusual now for people to live into the triple figures. One of my patients just had her 100th birthday and invited me to her party. And so in joint replacement surgery, which is what I do, we're finding that, you know, I've got 85-year-olds now that are coming in to have their hips and knees replaced because they can't stay active. They want to go do things like play tennis and go skiing and things, which was just unheard of, you know, a couple decades ago. And that same population that has the severe joint disease, of course, for everyone that needs to be replaced, there's probably 10 or 20 joints in the population that are just taking anti-inflammatories and going through injections and various things that don't actually help build back tissue. They just help control the pain. And this is an attempt at treating that arthritis, like I said, without using dangerous drugs, because a lot of meds we use that cause a lot of side effects, and without, you know, resorting to big operations like hip and knee replacements. It is being used to treat other conditions, but in our center, we're orthopedically driven, and so all we treat is orthopedic injuries. So between arthritis, and then my partner is a sports medicine doctor, Dr. Tal David, is the team physician for the Chargers, and we've been using it in sports injuries as well for people that aren't healing from standard therapies, including some of the professional athletes.
So right now, doctor, given your practice and specialty, you're using it in orthopedic applications, muscles, and things like that. What about other muscles, like, for example, the organs, like the heart, the liver, you know, the pancreas, and other key organs of the body? Is there any development or research going on in that area in terms of replacement?
Absolutely. As far as replacement, I'm not sure. Revitalization might be a better word. Now, I'm familiar with several animal studies where they've looked at this, where they induced strokes in rabbits and mice and things, and they put the stem cells in IV, and then they go in and they find those stem cells in the area of the brain that was injured. The implications of that, and it's still far from being clinically driven yet, is staggering, though. Where if you had a stroke, and you went in and they were able to suck out a few cc's of fat, spin it down in a few minutes, give it back into IV, and be able to actually put viable cells into that dead area of your brain, the clinical implications of that is pretty profound. Same thing with heart attacks. So there is a company in La Jolla that we work with on the arthritic side. We've done some of their FDA trials. And they've got an FDA trial going, I think, in two areas of cardiac disease. Same concept. They're taking the fat cells, spinning them down. It takes a couple hours with their machine. And then they're able to give it back IV or directly into the heart. So they have their cardiologists go in through the arteries like you would for an angioplasty or an angiogram, which is a pretty common procedure in the heart, and they can actually put needles up through there and inject the stem cells directly into the heart muscle. And they're doing that for heart failure. And then on the heart attack side, then they're also using it for people with acute heart attacks. Those are FDA trials that are done in a very small volume of patients, and it's not at all clinically available if you go to your local hospital, but I think they're hoping it is, but there'll probably be another 6 or 8 years before they can actually do that.
Do you see the day, doctor, instead of organ transplants as we're doing now, whether it's heart or lung or liver, that we can regenerate new organs with stem cells?
Yes. I really believe, just from what I've seen, that that can be done. It's going to be many years, but that's what I mean. As my non-physician friends say, you know, we'll all be laughing at you guys. You know, you used to actually operate on people with arthritis. How archaic is that? When you really could have just taken some cells out, grown them for a few days, throw in some magic potion, which would be some sort of enzymatic reaction to get those cells to form cartilage, and just go in and paint the knee with cartilage and be done with it, and let people go for another decade with walking on their own knees. But the same thing then could be true for the pancreas. Again, the thought of it is so profound that you'd be able to take stem cells from some source of the body and then be able to turn them into the cells that make insulin, and then inject them back into a person's pancreas and maybe get it to start working again and actually get rid of all these diabetic treatments. Are they working on that? Absolutely. They're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions of dollars, trying to figure out how to actually make that work. But I have no doubt that they're going to do that.
Doctor, is there any downside to stem cell therapy? I mean, we know that with certain drugs, in fact, you can't watch a commercial on TV. The first 30 seconds tell you the wonderful things, and then the next 20 seconds tell you all the side effects.
How you could die.
Yeah.
Well, that's
take this drug, won't make you feel good, but then you might die as a result.
Yeah, and some of the best arthritic drugs these days that really have changed the face of things like rheumatoid arthritis are potent immunosuppressants. That's why you hear that, you know, when you hear, you know, advertisements talking about rheumatoid arthritis and talking about some of these other things, that they're taking drugs that really are shutting off part of their immune system. What we're doing clinically, again, just taking some fat, spinning it down, pulling the cells out and giving it back to them, it's almost hard to imagine any kind of side effects as long as it's done safely in a safe surgical environment where you're not getting infections. And we've yet to have that in a couple of years of doing this. But again, we're doing gigantic surgeries and getting very few infections. This is a very small one. And again, because we're doing it in what you'd almost call a naturopathic method, just taking the cells and putting them back into the same person in the same day. So we're not culturing them. When you ask about side effects of stem cells, there's a simplistic way that we're doing it. And those cells have to figure out what to do in that person's knee or their hip or their shoulder where we're putting it. In the real big picture, they'll be telling those cells what to do. But that's where the FDA comes in and should come in, because once you start altering the cells where you're actually trying to induce them to turn into something, then you can run into theoretical problems. You know, what if you turned a muscle cell into a muscle tumor, or a nerve cell into some sort of nerve tumor, or you have it sitting around a lab for several weeks and you could introduce a virus or bacteria into that. And I think in the end, they'll be able to do it, but it's got to be watched very carefully so we don't, you know, lead to big issues like that. But I just came from a talk about a week ago. I was giving some talks here in San Diego with a group that's doing a lot of stem cell stuff. And one thing that I personally found fascinating was the potential to treat cancer. And I don't know if you saw the recent, I don't know if it was a 2020 or something like that, where they took, I believe it was either smallpox virus or something similar, I'm trying to remember exactly what they did, and they injected it into a solid brain tumor, and they were able to then kill that tumor with that virus and the immune system's response to it. And what they're doing with these fat-derived cells is they're taking them out of the patient, which is very simple, and then taking the cells and isolating them and introducing the vaccinia virus, which is what's commonly used in vaccines to, again, stimulate the immune system to prevent infections. And they're actually then introducing that IV, and those cells go to tumors because they're basically called there. That's why tumors are so aggressive and so good at what they do. They call our own tissue, and then they use that to grow. So when this group of stem cells that has this virus in it gets taken up by the tumor cells, it releases the virus, infects the surrounding tumor cells, and then your immune system then battles it. And they've been able to wipe out tumors that are metastatic. They're spread through the body, and now these cells spread out, and they have this little army of cells. It's a Trojan horse concept, right? You hide this little virus in a stem cell, like the Trojan horse, and then all of a sudden out pops the enemy. And again, they're still several years away, I'm sure, from using that on a clinical basis. But you can imagine the concept of putting that harmless virus into there rather than the nasty poisons that we use right now to treat cancer and all the side effects that everybody knows about. that make people's lives miserable being treated, and now they'd be able to treat them with a very almost natural method. And you just sit there and watch this as a physician, and I'm 55 years old, I won't be around. I'll be needing it perhaps in a few years, but I'd certainly, when and if I ever get some sort of cancer, that's the way I want to be treated, even if I had to go into research protocol rather than the nasty medicines that we use now.
You know, I want to cover, if you would, a couple myths that we have about stem cell research or stem cell therapy. One is stem cell research and treatment is against the law. You hear that?
Yeah, and I think what they're referring to is the embryonic stem cells. Right. So from a political and moral and ethical standpoint, there's a lot of pushback against the use of taking embryos, which would, of course, be obtained through abortions. And those are the ultimate stem cells, right? They can turn into almost anything. They're at a very early state. That's not being done in the United States, at least without great secrets, so to speak, maybe at big universities. There's another source of stem cells if you culture them, and that's the skin. And I've read some articles where they've actually taken those cells and cultured them and then induced them to turn into other things. And again, a very easy and plentiful source. I don't think embryonic stem cells are going to go anywhere except for maybe some very specific diseases if these PhDs and scientists can take skin cells, fat cells, and bone marrow cells and do the same thing. So I think when you say illegal, I think that's where they're coming from.
What about other myths that are out there? Stem cell therapy is unproven and stem cell therapy is new. It's my understanding this kind of research or therapy has been going on for some time now.
It has been. I mean, they've been working on this, but it's like anything. It's this giant wave where people have started figuring these things out. And then all of a sudden, one project turns into 10 projects, turns into 100 projects. And so is it new? Not necessarily, but everything that's being done right now is new. Because before it was done in a lab, now we're starting to actually be able to do some of these things with people that are very safe. And again, separating out taking your fat cells and using them on the same day in like a surgical procedure, as opposed to, again, culturing cells, growing them in a petri dish, and then giving them back to you. That's illegal, and again, for good reason, because you have to prove to the FDA that you can do that. So I think the other part of your question was, is it proven or it's unproven? That's absolutely true. So what we're doing, we're actually doing through a research protocol with an institutional review board, gathering data and trying to show that it's safe, but we've not yet proven that. I can tell you, after several hundred patients, we know that it's safe. These are my patients. I treat them normally in my office, and they just don't want me to do a joint replacement on them, and we've yet to have a complication. So that part, you know, is safe, but it absolutely is unproven, and we tell that to patients before we treat them, that we don't have absolute proof that this works. I have absolute proof that I can take your knee and replace it and do a good job, but I can also prove to you that there's a significant complication rate of bad things that can happen if I do a big operation on you. And that's what we're trying to work around, is doing something that just doesn't have those complications associated with it.
A couple other questions, if I may. Do you ever use other stem cells from, let's say, another human being, just as we're doing today with, let's say, organ donors?
Do we? Absolutely not, because now we're getting into an area where you can do damage. If you take cells from one person and give them to another, just like with a blood transfusion, you can probably do it, but we're not doing that at all. It's probably being done. Believe me, when I talk to patients about this, most of them don't want the stem cells as bad as they want to donate stem cells, because it's a liposuction. And I have a lot of patients that could be more than happy to give up a couple pounds of fat. And those could be cultured and given to people if the proper tests are done. But I don't think that'll ever be necessary, because I think it'd be much safer to, if I took your cells out of your fat and then cultured them, when we're legally able to do that, and then give you your own DNA back. Because I just have this gut feeling that in the long run, you're always going to be better if I regenerate something in your body, whether it's in your knee or your hip or your brain, and it's your own DNA. That's what we don't know long term. If I put somebody else's DNA into your knee and it made new cartilage and you did fine, are there long term implications to that?
Is there a risk your body could reject the stem cells if re-entering your body? And the second one, are all stem cells the same? In other words, are there certain stem cells that are more important medically, or does it depend on the application that they're used for?
Yeah, I'll answer the second one first. What we're taking are called mesenchymal stem cells. So that's what can build things like cartilage, bone, brain tissue, things like that, including cardiac muscle. There are other stem cells that can be used in different ways, like you'd get from an embryo, or these what we call pluripotential cells that can turn into almost anything. And that's going to depend on how much flexibility you need in the cell. So as an orthopedic surgeon, all I want is the mesenchymal stem cells, because that's what's going to help me build cartilage and soft tissue, connective tissue, including blood vessels. But yes, there are some other stem cells that are more primordial, is what we call them. So you kind of go backwards in the chain back to the ultimate primordial cell like you'd find in an embryo, where that can turn into their eyes, their ears, their nose, their face, their internal organs, etc. But what we're taking in the process we use are mesenchymal stem cells that don't have that pluripotential capability, but they have the capability of doing what we want them to do.
Is there a risk that your body could reject the stem cells when they're re-entering your body?
Well, the body's capable of doing almost anything, but that's why I feel good about what we do, which is taking your cells and putting them back into your body, because there is no potential for the rejection that you're thinking about like you get with organ transplants. That's what you'd get if I took your stem cells and gave them to your wife, who's not related to you, but because the immune system has a way of rejecting foreign cells. That's what that whole cancer scenario was. You introduce a foreign virus, and the immune system will go crazy and attack it. And so that's why I don't want to put other people's stem cells into my patients, because that could and would lead to rejection.
Okay, well, doctor, let's say that our listeners are out there. Somebody may have a bad knee, a hip, a shoulder, and, you know, it's being suggested possible surgery. How could they find out more about stem cell therapy, and where would they go to find that out?
Well, certainly if they're in the Southern California region where we are, our website is www.stemsd.com. So it's STEMSD.com. But on a national basis, if somebody contacts us and lives in another part of the country, we'd be able to find people that are doing things exactly the same we are. We're part of a big network. And so I'd easily be able to give somebody a name if they were in Seattle or New York or, you know, somewhere else. But we can easily forward that person's questions to somebody in their area.
Yeah, we have listeners in all 50 states. So, doctor, could you give out your website one more time as we close?
www.stem, S-T-E-M-S-D for San Diego, stemsd.com.
Well, listen, doctor, thanks so much for coming on the program and enlightening our listeners to this new therapy, and keep up the great work.
You're very welcome. I appreciate your time.
You know, the direction they're going, and I was having a conversation with my doctor recently, Jim, is, say, for example, in the case of cancer, if you can get to identify specifically the cancer cells by their own genetics and then come up with something that would only target those cells, then that does away with all the need for surgeries and things like that. Stem cells, say, for example, to replace cartilage in joints rather than these really invasive joint replacement surgeries that are done now. This is really the promise of the future. We're just opening the door, and I don't think it's been fully developed yet. But like the doctor himself said, if he ever had to go to cancer, he'd probably do some kind of replacement type thing versus some of the chemo.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure if you're listening to this program, all you have to do is turn on television, watch a drug commercial, and the first 30 seconds are all these wonderful things it's going to take care of. And then, you know, John, it's the next 20 seconds is like, hey, you could die, or, you know, this can cause major problems.
Side effects may include sudden death, right? You know, or something like that. Oh, this makes me feel really good. And yet they're still smiling on the tube. You notice that?
Yeah, then the last 10 seconds are, you know, showing a wonderful scenario. So, but you heard the doctor, he said if he was to get some kind of major illness like cancer, he'd probably go to this kind of protocol. Well, that concludes our interview today. Hope you enjoyed this as we try to bring the latest that we're seeing in medicine and diet to you. You know, the great thing that we talk about retirement here, if you make it to retirement and you're living, why not live well? And we hope that this program will help in that regard. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense NewsHour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.